Would you guys pray with me for a second? Lord, I'm just so grateful for the way that you have shown me your love in the last 7 or 8 years. Thankful for the way that you've used this ministry to reach out to others. Lord, I just ask that you continue to stir our hearts to be the men and the women you created us to be. Also, we ask in your son's name. Amen. All right. Let me start off by saying that my life was a train wreck for many years. Alcohol and drugs were a part of my everyday life. I often woke up drinking, I'd stay stoned throughout the day, and continued until late at night. I was hurting, but because I was so numb to most feelings, I couldn't really tell. I would never let anyone get too close. By keeping a distance, people couldn't reject me, like my parents had. My parents' divorce was pretty rough. When the church we attended learned of their divorce, we were asked not to come back. For years, I felt God had turned his back on me, and this was my first experience with rejection. A custody battle began, and I was asked to testify in court about the abuse from my mother, and the judge, thankfully, felt it unnecessary to run me through that ringer, and he gave custody to my dad. Relations were strained with my mom, and after much encouragement, I tried to reconcile with her while she was picking up my younger brother from my dad's. And my mom reacted by rolling up the car window and turning her back so she wouldn't have to look at me. And rejected, I vowed to myself that I would never put myself in that position again. Living with my dad was better. He eventually met a lady and remarried. My rebellion and fears reached new heights or depths, and I made the transition much more difficult than it had to be. Our new family relocated to Denver, Colorado. I had my first drink around this time, and the numbing effect of the alcohol killed any pain I felt. I drank more often, hanging out with my new buddies in high school. Ultimately, because of many bad decisions, some brushes with the law, and the anger that was stewing inside me, my stepmom told my dad it was either him or me. I lost. Dad chose her, told me to leave the house. I was given a ride to the airport and told I was on my own. Don't bother asking for help. I vowed I would honor that wish and I would never speak to him again. The damage from being rejected was done. The most important people in my life had dumped me. And now I saw myself as the victim, and I played that role very well. I was able to complete high school and took a lot of pride in bragging how I beat the odds. But the drinking escalated, and I soon learned how methamphetamines and cocaine would allow me to drink for extended periods. I lived this way for about 15 years, and these were the ugliest years of my life, filled with self-serving, self-gratification, and self-loathing. Being wasted was the only way I knew how to live, and it damaged or destroyed every relationship I have ever had. Even after a failed marriage, I used that to bolster my perception that I was unwanted and unlovable, and I continued to spiral downward. I was very guarded, not allowing many people to get close. How I would operate was I would look for opportunities to help others as a way of buying friendship and in some way loyalty. Help with rent, get a car fixed. I was trying to be their rescuer, their savior. And if they ever let me down, I'd do what I had learned. I would turn my back on them and completely disassociate with them. You can probably guess I went through a lot of friends, and I left a wake of damage behind me. My behavior got so bad that it began to scare me. I began to wonder how my 8-year-old daughter would view me. Would she be ashamed of me? I knew that I had a problem, so I started attending AA. But I still believed the lie that I would be rejected, so I quickly isolated myself again. Had a few years of sobriety by trying to stay sober one day at a time, but I was just a dry drunk trying to do it all on my own power. But I knew that I was very near to drinking again. This is when some friends invited me to Watermark. Even though my fear was shouting pretty loudly that I was different and that I would be rejected, I gave it a try. The people here seemed different than those I remember from my childhood church. Little did I know how God was beginning to work on my heart, and looking back, how much he was going to radically transform me. I had a lot of questions about God, and a friend at work invited me into his office to talk. He explained how my sins were a barrier between me and God, no matter how hard I tried, my works would never be good enough to be righteous in God's eyes. He told me about how Christ gave his life to pay the penalty for my sins. He said that all I had to do was accept the free gift of grace that Christ was offering to me. So I accepted Christ as my Savior and began to attend Watermark regularly. Still feeling like I was on the brink of a relapse, I began to get plugged in at Regeneration. I was excited to try this program out since everything else I had tried had failed. There was a freshness I hadn't felt before, like a new beginning. And I took the ball and ran with it. As we progressed through the first two books, I started to get pretty fearful about this inventory process. I did not want to divulge all the dirty laundry that was hidden in my past. And I kept the guys in my group at a distance. And then I read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lead not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." And this turned out to be a pivotal moment for me. I decided that I would trust the Lord and how he would use this ministry to transform me. Rejuvenated, we went through the inventory, and I shared it openly. The men who came around me spoke truth to me. They boldly spoke truth. They pointed out that all those years I was in the wilderness, I would sabotage relationships as a way of protecting myself. I would reject people before they had a chance to reject me, and I really had no idea that I was doing it. What a destructive and repetitive cycle I had followed. These men challenged me by asking why I was trying so hard to prove that I was unlovable. And above all else, why did I not feel like God loved me? That was the big question. And to be honest, this felt like a roller coaster ride. But the leaders would always point me to Scripture. So this is what I learned about God. He loves me. Blemishes and all. Ephesians 1:5 says, "He predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." This was huge. I am his adopted son. I began to realize that I had viewed God on the same plane as my earthly father. There were so many verses I read that told me of God's great love for us, and I decided to make a choice. I was going to choose to believe God's truth and not the deceptive lies that were constantly rolling around in my head. Lies that told me I wasn't good enough, that I couldn't be loved, and the worst one, that I wasn't worth it. It's a minute-by-minute struggle for me, believing God's truth and rejecting the lies. It sounds silly, but the most effective way for me to combat those thoughts is to ask myself if God would truly say that to me. No, he would not, because I know what the Bible says and that his words are true, and that usually does the trick. Working through the dysfunction and the old habits has been quite the journey. It made me aware of how self-centered I can be. And this has been a tough pill to swallow, having to admit that I can be so selfish. In Mark 10:45, it says that Christ did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So as part of my 12th step, I began to usher at the Sunday morning service. God used that time to show me his love through his people. Here's a guy that has a strong fear of rejection, has never been to college, and I'd much rather be in the country than in the big city. I felt like I was the odd man out, and yet Christ showed me otherwise. Nobody seemed to care about my education. They cared more about how I came to know Christ. And there it was again. It's not about me. It's about my Savior. Other character defects began to surface, like still living in my past as a victim of abuse. And yes, I was a victim, and I didn't have a part in that. But I learned I have a part on how it affects my way of thinking now. I could keep on living and feeling sorry for myself, or I can make a choice that those episodes in my past would no longer define me. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come." And I think it comes down to where I get my value. For decades, I got my value using that victim mentality, and all it did was promote more brokenness. And I'm sure it was a barrier between me and what God has in store for me. To finally understand that my values in Christ lift such a heavy burden that I placed on others, I'm continually amazed at how mighty a work God does and the fact of how much I can hinder that growth simply because I won't get out of the way. Of all the things that I soaked up, the most gratifying time in Regen was the opportunities I had to make amends, to ask for forgiveness, and to forgive others in my heart. To be able to meet up with people in my past and ask them to forgive me for the way I treated them or hurt them was such a relief. I no longer had to carry that baggage around anymore. I learned to prayerfully forgive others who had hurt me. If I had been forgiven by God, then I should forgive others as well. And to be able to share those victories and hear the victories of the men in my group was overwhelming. We banded together and we held each other accountable. It was my first taste of community, and we grew closer to our Lord. Community, the dreaded word. My recovery today relies heavily on my ability to stay close to guys that I'm walking with, to be open and honest about my status with my walk, with my time in God's word, and where I am in my marriage. God has faithfully removed my desire to drink. However, I do need to be conscientious about triggers that could easily swing me in that direction. I cannot put myself in a position that will enable that pattern to resurface. Boundaries have been put into place to safeguard against that. I have returned home from hunting trips early because of a lack of accountability while I was out of town. My struggle with the fear of rejection, which is I feel is my core struggle, is an ongoing everyday fight. I will have seasons of victory and moments when I just flat out run into a ditch. Thankfully, God has placed some strong men in my life to work through those seasons. It's a true blessing to be able to just say, this is where I'm falling short, and to be reminded of God's truth and given practical ideas on how to struggle well. I don't think I'll ever consider myself to be fixed, but I measure my victory simply by knowing that I don't wallow in the mud nearly as long as I used to. The seasons in the ditch seem to be shorter. Being vulnerable to others and admitting my setbacks has really changed the dynamic of all my relationships. This openness has afforded a real and authentic feel that God has used to really blossom these friendships, especially with my dad. I remember promising myself that I would never speak to him again, but God had different plans. One night while perusing through Facebook, a window popped up that said, people you might know. And it was a picture of my dad, my stepmom. I looked at my wife and I said, I think I found my dad. She found his phone, his email, everything I needed to make contact. And we talked it over, prayed about it, and we both felt a strong push to reach out. So I typed out an email and shared about my recovery. And that part of the process was to make amends and clean up my side of the street. I asked him to forgive me for my rebellion, for the trouble I had gotten into, and for not accepting his new wife into our family. I also shared a little on where I was in my life, my walk with our Lord, and said I wasn't expecting a reply, but that I hope he is well. I can still remember the fear and apprehension I felt with my finger hovering over that send key. The very next day, my dad responded by saying, "What a wonderful surprise." To hear from me. He shared regret for the mistakes made by all. He was sorry and wishes he could have reacted better. He is grateful that I have Jesus to help me in all things and that God gave me the courage to reach out. I was the prodigal son who had returned. Just as my heavenly father came running after me, so did my earthly father. 30 years we were at odds with each other. And God has sought from both of our hearts to be receptive and willing. My dad and I eventually got to meet face to face and have dinner. They got to meet my wife for the first time. And I was given the opportunity to ask for forgiveness from my stepmom, who was crying her heart out. It was good. I know that I find my value in Jesus Christ. I'm not disputing that at all. But there was something different that night. A piece of my history was restored, was returned. And it was given back renewed. I no longer feel rejected by my dad, and the friendship continues today. the story about my dad is a great reminder to keep my pride in check and to keep short accounts. Harboring bitterness for that long only bred more dysfunction for me, and I want to stay healthy. It also gave me an opportunity to do step 12 and take the message to others. We spent some time talking about God that night at dinner, and I walked away knowing they have a relationship with Christ. How can I not share that good news? I truly enjoy the opportunities the Lord provides to share hope with others who may be struggling with addiction, and pointing them back to Christ. It really helps me in my walk. I never imagined that I could be used by God like this, but I've been leading in Regen for a number of years now. I have a group of guys that I'm going through the steps with right now. God has presented me opportunities to share his story of hope at a few prisons here locally and overseas in Haiti, where I got to be a part of a team that was able to train some pastors about recovery in Christ. I am just completely amazed and humbled how God took a man dedicated to self-destruction and has redeemed my life to glorify him. God does great things in spite of our past when we surrender to him. So I'd like to challenge y'all with a few things. This week, you might be the only example of Christ to somebody at work, at the store, or on LBJ. Lead out well and show others the love that Christ has for you. And I want to encourage each of us to go all in to learn of God's plan for us. And you know that God's plan, and you can know God's plan for you through his word, the Bible. Jeremiah 29:11 says, God has plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And I know we all can find freedom from our addictions and destructive behaviors by resting in the Lord. Thank you for letting me share God's story of love with you tonight.